The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 4. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett from Style Weekly.
And I'm David Timberline, also from Style Weekly. And we're going to start off the show today talking about Perfect Arrangement, the comic drama that is currently at Richmond Triangle Players. The perfect arrangement that's described in the show is a clever contract made between two picture-perfect couples in the early 1950s. While they pose as straight, the boys and girls pair off after hours. This arrangement is threatened when the U.S. State Department, where Bob and Norma work, starts purging suspected homosexuals. So, Rich, what did you think?
I agreed with the review that you wrote for Style. I thought that you were going to go first, but...
So read my review. That's all right. Next.
All right, so I'll pick this up. I thought they tried really hard to make this work. I have some problems with the script. They try to balance this sort of like 50s sitcom style with the reality, and then they give up halfway through. They're just like, well, that doesn't work. So yeah, I thought that it was interesting kind of what they were talking about the, was it the pink scare? The
lavender scare.
The lavender scare. I thought that the actual drama of it was very interesting, but the comedy bits seemed out of place, and I thought the ending was very unrealistic.
Yeah.
I thought Amy did a nice job with the 50s style and then swiveling it to the new direction when you find out that they're actually in a different reality. I thought the cast was very comic and riot. Jackie O'Connor, of course, we hadn't mentioned. She was ditzy and delightful. Everybody loved her in the audience the night I was there. And I thought, even though the Act Two dialogue got a little lengthy and yet was kind of unrealistic that they would do what they ended up doing, it was a very moving political statement, at least for me. Of course, it spoke to me because it's my background. By the way, I just wanted to mention, I thought Lynn West did a beautiful job on those wonderful 50s frocks.
Yeah. It's such a fascinating chapter of history that I didn't know about. I don't think many people know about it. And to have it kind of mixed in with this zany sitcom style, it was very entertaining, but it also made me want to go, you know, wow, this is intense. I wanted to mention also Jennifer Frank, who was this omnisexual sexual adventurer, was very entertaining also.
I thought she did a great job with it, but I felt that character felt very out of place for the time.
Right. Whether you liked the script or not, I think that it was a strong, interesting production. And entertaining, yeah. And I'll just mention that Perfect Arrangement is playing at Triangle Players through October 22nd. Also closing on the 22nd is the show we're going to talk about next at Firehouse Theater, Ubu 84. Rich?
The show smashes together George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984 with Alfred Jarry's turn-of-the-century play Ubu Raw. Writer-director James Ricks has given us an intriguing look at power in this election year, and I absolutely loved it. I thought that James Ricks did a fantastic job using the two different works to kind of show power at different ends, both from monarchy and from an authoritarian government kind of point of view. I thought it was strong work by the actors, especially Charlie Raintree as Winston Smith, Foster Solomon as Ubu, Kimberly Jones-Clark as Ma Ubu, Christopher Dunn as the torturer in 1984. I thought the Tennessee Dixon set also is unlike anything we've kind of seen in Richmond with all of its projections and its live camera work. I thought it was amazing.
Well, we disagreed on this show. 180 degrees there. I thought James Ricks boldly staged this. I thought 1984 was dreary and...
It's 1984.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's true.
I thought it was supposed to be cheery.
I thought the production was dreary. It took too long to develop, and I never felt like there was this sense of impending doom. I thought everybody was kind of somber. I never really got that intensity till almost the end. If it had been more intense, I think it would have been more paranoid. It would have been accessible. Now, on the other hand, I thought Uber was great. I thought Foster and Kimberly were committed to the crazy, and they were comically brilliant in that show. The ensemble, the other four that did the smaller roles, they were also delightfully crazy, too. I thought Ubu shows how brilliant James Ricks can be as a director, but I just didn't think 1984 worked as well. So.
I'm of the opposite point of view. I thought 1984 was A, very true to the book, and B, could have stood alone as its own, you know, play. I thought the Ubu Raw stuff, it's this older style of theater, and it took you a couple of scenes to kind of get into it, but once you got into it, it was pretty good. But I don't know if that could have stood alone, and I think that the way that they work together is very well done by James Ricks.
I thought just the opposite. I'd love to see Ubu Raw played by itself and then get rid of 1984. But anyway, we'll have to disagree on that. Maybe we'll arm wrestle after we get off the air and decide.
Okay. And just as a side note, James Ricks is husband to Louise Ricks, who is starring in Perfect Arrangement right now.
We're going to try to squeeze in one more review of 1776, which is the production of Virginia Rep at the November Theater through the 23rd of October. The play is basically about the Continental Congress laboring in a Philadelphia heat as John Adams drives the vote for our nation's independence. Now, I thought the script is very witty, although it still was very interesting from a historical aspect. Director Deb Clinton beautifully staged the entire production. I thought it was very funny when it needed to be and had some very somber significance when it was appropriate. The songs were strong. Even the lengthy debate in Act One, and Act One did go on for an hour and 40 minutes, was absorbing to me. It was great to see Scotty Wichman and Jason Marks mine every laugh with in their little duo numbers at first time back on stage since the producers. And I thought all the performances were solid. I liked Brian Pugh as Richard Henry Lee, and Alexander Sapp was stunning in his big solo. I thought it was an immensely entertaining history lesson.
I completely agree. I thought they did a fantastic job. At the last episode, Dave, you were talking about how a lot of the older musicals are not aging as well as we might hope. This is one that does. It's got that nice mix of a reverence and respect for the Founding Fathers. It's kind of like a Schoolhouse Rock episode for adults. I thought the cast did a fantastic job. Deb Clinton did great work direction-wise. Alexander Sapp standing out in Molasses to Rum. Sarah Walson, who I don't know if I've seen before, as Abigail Adams. Also did an excellent job.
Both of the women were very nice. And I would have to say, if you want to see this show, it's selling very well, and it's going to be closing soon, so do not wait around to see this excellent production. As you probably know by now, October is also being called Arttober, which is a celebration in arts and culture all over the Richmond, Virginia area. And there are a number of collaborations, and I'm happy to be talking to James Nygren, who is leading one of these collaborations. He's the director of Firehouse Theater's Radio Players. Welcome, James.
Thank you very much.
So tell me, what have y'all got planned for Arttober?
The Firehouse Radio Players, in conjunction with Firehouse Theater, and now with WRAR, we are doing our annual production of The War of the Worlds. The original radio play done by Orson Welles, it's an adaptation of the H.G. Wells novel. The version we're doing is as exact to the actual radio play as possible.
You're not modernizing it with cell phones or anything like that?
No, we've decided not to modernize it. We are keeping in the spirit of the original broadcast.
So how many people are involved in the play, and will it be open to an audience in the theater itself?
It absolutely will. Tickets are on sale right now online. You can go to firehousetheater.org. That's theater with a T-R-E at the end.
Right,
because they're fancy. We are doing two shows, one at 7:30 p.m. and one at 10 p.m. The 10 p.m. show is actually going to be broadcast live on the air with WRAR. I think we've got a cast of about 8 or 9 people, and then we've got our sound effects person and then our musician.
I imagine there are probably a lot of younger listeners who have no idea what this is at all. You might want to give a little bit of a background on what this is and why it's interesting and why y'all are doing it.
It's an adaptation of the H.G. Wells novel, The War of the Worlds, originally adapted and performed in 1938 by Orson Welles. It is touted as the radio play that terrified a nation. In all reality, it was a handful of farmers in rural New Jersey who sort of tuned in midway through the broadcast, maybe not even heard the
thought it was
thing.
Real.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, this is the second time you've done War of the Worlds.
That is
what
correct.
Other kind of shows, or how often do the radio players perform?
All of it's originally written content.
Oh, okay. So most of what you do is original.
Yes, except for War of the Worlds, everything we do is originally written content.
Uh-huh. Now, is it contemporary based, or are you still trying to be old school?
We still try to be old school. All of our shows are made to sound just like the old 1930s through 50s radio shows that everyone is so very fond of. We've been doing it for about a year. And when we started, we were doing a show every month.
Okay.
And then we switched our format to every other month.
Terrific. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds exciting. It sounds like fun. A lot of people out there they may not even be listening to this on the radio. They may be listening to the podcast, but hopefully they will tune in either to WRAR or come see it live at Firehouse. Saturday, October 29th, 7:30 and 10 p.m. shows, and the 10 p.m. show will be broadcast live on WRAR, where this show is broadcast right now. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
By the way, if you missed the delightful production of Spamalot at Dogwood Dell this summer, there's one more chance to see it as part of Arttober. At 7 p.m. on the 23rd, the Bird Theater will present a concert version of the musical. That means there's no set and props, just the actors on stage with Ben Miller accompanying it. It'll be followed by a screening of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which is the inspiration for the musical. Because they missed one of their shows this summer due to rain, the show is free, but any at-the-door donations will be split between the Bird and the Friends of Dogwood Dell. I want to remind you that the Artsies are Monday, the 17th. You can get your tickets at virginiarep.org. And that's going to do it for this issue of Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRAR. This is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Rich Grissett from Style Weekly.
David Timberline from Style Weekly.
And Scene.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.